We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, we're back?
We're back,
man.
Oh, we are back.
If only the listeners could hear what we just talked
about. I know. It was hilarious. What they missed was that we're presented by the Breckenridge Brewery Fun Slinger.
The Fun Slinger.
It's really fun.
You didn't get my organic reaction to
right,
Fun Slinger.
Right. But you could rewind, see his facial expressions. That's fun.
Fun Slinger's good? Got that Yair stamp of approval.
It's a crushable light lager. What could be better? Check out the beer locator.
Nice.
H&H, as they're known at the company.
Never been called that once.
We don't do this often.
Are you going by Henry or Hank these days?
Oh, dealer's choice. Whatever you want.
Okay, we'll go with Hank
based
today.
On the vibe.
Cool. Love that. It's a Hank vibe today. We might get some snow, Harrison. Is that why you were late for this here show?
Definitely not. I was late because there's nowhere to park in our parking lot. That should be for employees. That's maybe not.
Nobody knows.
There's a porta potty in one of the spots right now that's taking that up. I parked in like the spot on the end that's like half a spot, but not really. I feel like I'm going to get clipped by somebody coming around the end.
You don't love that. You don't love that.
But that's what I had to do. Well, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Big upset, Harrison, not being late because there might be snow later.
Right. Upset. It is a big upset. The handicappers had put some short odds on that one. I assumed you were late because you don't skip steps.
What?
is that motto too old? Do I need to scrap
the
whole podcast?
I don't know. I've
skipped
steps the first, whatever, 6-7 years of my media career. I'm down to skip some steps now.
Hell yeah. See, that's Nuggets in 2022 kind of guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry, on the
other
hand.
Done with the don't skip steps era. Ready to.
Let's go.
Climb atop the final step.
All in finally. On the two steps at a time. When you get a little older, you start to do two steps at a time. It's fun until then you fall and chip your chin or a tooth or something.
My 3 years of steps in Boulder were enough.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
You didn't, a lot of steps. You didn't skip any steps, but you also didn't climb any steps, I don't think.
It's true. Just like walk straight forward. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Just a somewhat downward plateau of sorts. much like Buffs football. Praise anyone you believe in that we aren't here to talk about Buffs football.
Oh, thank God.
But Henry, you're covering a team that skipped steps previously and is now maybe retracing some steps. What's on the skip-stepping scale, where are the Broncos after this Bradley Chubb
That's
trade?
A really tough question. I hadn't really thought of this in steps perspective. I think steps don't even really apply.
Okay. Like,
is trading for Russell Wilson skipping steps?
The NFL's different,
It
man.
Is.
The right? NFL, you have to skip steps.
Yeah.
I think it is. Actually,
or
I don't know.
Or draft and develop a quarterback and not skip steps.
Yeah. It's just so different.
The Buffalo Bills.
I think you can make the argument that it is and it isn't. Because, like, the final step or just one of the steps can be going out and just getting a quarterback, which is what the Broncos thought they were doing.
Right. Yes. Turns out that wasn't the final step. They were still a couple steps away from the final
Not
step.
Skipping steps could also be drafting and developing a quarterback.
True. That would be, like, the easiest definition.
Like, that's what the Rams tried to do, but they eventually had to go get a quarterback.
Exactly. Right. Bradley Chubb, though, they trade him. We should say pick up a first round pick, pick up a fourth round pick next year.
Good.
Also
good.
Give up a fifth round pick the year after that.
They did.
And
they
get
did.
Chase Edmonds too, who was the second biggest contract of any running back this offseason.
Wow. Goodness.
Hasn't really played like it. That's the nicest thing you can say about
Goodness.
Him.
Goodness.
Wow. Is he good?
See, that's the issue, is that they paid him a lot of money, but then he hasn't really been good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
so for his career though, I mean 1,600 rushing yards, 1,000 receiving yards. Like good third down back. If they're riding with Latavius Murray, Melvin Gordon, that's a good piece to add. Overall, we can just start here. It's a good deal. Is it skipping steps though? I think you were right. It's kind of reversing steps.
Right.
You're moving backwards.
It's kind of like we thought we were ready to go all in. You know what? We're gonna kind of back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing board. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or is it just a classic trade where you had depth at edge and you need more talent on offense and you know you need more cost controlled guys, so you're going after rookie contracts. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a simpler way to look.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly it. Yep. I mean, the Broncos thought they were gonna potentially win a Super Bowl this year. That's how this roster was built.
Yep.
That's obviously not happening.
Nope.
So what you do in the NFL is you just try to plan for next year. They obviously didn't want to pay Bradley Chubb. They didn't want to give him the contract extension. They got a first rounder for him. I think it's a good trade. I think it's a smart trade for the Broncos also.
Yep. The only downside to it is Russell Wilson's not getting any younger. And you're now living the Russell Wilson era, which is going to go another 3 years minimum, but probably at least 4 years and up to seven. And, you know, I don't like the idea of pushing your timeline back by getting rid of a 26-year-old who's on a Pro Bowl pace for likely a 21, 22-year-old next year who maybe a couple years down the line turns out to be somebody who's really helping you make a push.
I just think in a lot of ways the NFL is a year-to-year sport.
Yep.
Oh, it is.
It's like they'll remake their roster to win next year, next summer, you know, next offseason.
Yeah, now you kind of have the pieces to do it.
Yeah, or you have a first-round pick that you can do. You can draft somebody. You know, first-round rookies, they make an impact in the NFL. We all know that. Or you can put it in a package, trade for somebody else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is this a punt on this season, then?
I think a real punt would be trading Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, there's no reason not to punt. I mean, what?
Season's
done. You can go 6-3 the rest of the way and have a chance of making the playoffs. You can go 7-2 and have... and be confident you would.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think they're going 7-2, especially when the schedule is about to get way tougher. I mean, you've got two games against the Chiefs. You haven't beat the Chiefs in 6 years.
There's
the two
done,
losses
Hank.
Right there. Exactly.
Season's done.
So the season is basically done.
Sunny side up Harrison here with.
But I'm just telling it how it is.
Frankly, they're haunted by losses to the Jets and Chargers and Raiders, who are all teams like that are right there. I mean, not so much the Raiders.
But. I think there's going to be 1-9-8 team that gets to the playoffs. There's going to be like 3 that don't. And if you were living in a world where 5-4 gets you to that point, you're like, no, it's not totally done. But when you need 6-3 just to have your hat in the ring, like hope for a 20% chance, that's just not a good place to be.
Yeah.
And so with that 20% chance kind of being slim, you reassess and you trade Bradley Chubb.
Yep. But what they didn't do is, you know, trade Dalton Reisner, who I would have traded. They didn't trade Jerry Jeudy. Yeah. They didn't trade Kareem Jackson, who's potentially playing his last year. He's 34 years old. So there were a bunch of other players that they could have gotten rid of. And that's why I don't see it as a punt. Although the season is basically over and they did trade away one of their best players.
It's almost like George Payton is trying to do the right thing while also not trying to look like a total shit show for his new owner.
Yeah. No, I think
that's what it looked like to me.
Yep.
It's like we have to do the right trade. Mm-hmm. And trade Bradley Chubb, but we can't just go out and lose the rest of our games because then I might actually get fired.
Exactly. And on top of that, just football-wise, like going from a 5-win team to a playoff team is not easy to do. And every year there's some weird turnaround somewhere where that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can at least, I don't know, like you don't need to find a way to be a good offense, but if you can just put up, you know, 20 points a game the rest of the season, find a way to win 6-7, maybe even 8 games, then you at least feel like a couple good moves this offseason. You should be a playoff team.
Yeah, at least be in the race.
It'd be nice.
That's the goal, though. That's where we're tracking with this trade, huh?
Yep.
And so then looking forward at this pick, and you're obviously not high on Chase Edmonds. Well, I think he's a nice little scat back. I mean, he's had his moments.
Is he in the mix next year? Javonte Williams, what is he?
Blake, I mean, if it was a straight ACL tear, you'd say he's probably out the first 2 weeks next year or something like that. When you have the PLC in there too, That's a lot tougher to come back from. And I mean, it's worth asking, is he ever going to be himself with an injury like that?
Right.
But more likely he's out at least the first month of the season. You're going to need something there.
So Melvin's, at the beginning of the season, he'll be in the mix.
You would think. But the way the contract sets up, they can either keep him next year and pay him $6 million, or they can cut him and not pay him anything. So it basically works like a team option. And you could do something in between where you say, like, we'll give him $1.5 million to play these first 4 weeks, then flip him or cut him or something like that. But I would guess that he's going to be in the mix.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting with this draft pick to think of where they're going to go to strengthen the team next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you assume it's offense, quarterback could be.
Is that
quarterback
a crazy idea?
Spicy.
It is.
Is it crazy to draft a quarterback early?
I mean, you have to give him at least one more year. Like, you have to give Russell at least one more year. Because otherwise, you're screwed. You're basically saying, we're screwed. We're about to pay this man this much money. And then 3-4 years from now, pay another $50 million just to get out of it. Like, you've got to find a way to make it work.
With the caveat say, Bryce Young were to drop to them, then I think you need to consider.
I don't think it'd be the worst idea.
Yeah. There'll be some Hendon Hooker conversations, I think.
I don't know who that is. But
he's lighting the college football world on fire with
Number
Tennessee.
One.
He'd be
he's the Tennessee guy. Yep. Okay.
He'd be the Heisman favorite right now.
Yep.
Tennessee guy. He kind of came out of nowhere. Feels like O-line scenario, they could add a lot of talent.
I think that's the easy one. First of all, you separate offense, defense, where they need talent. Obviously the offense. It's obviously the offense. Then you look across the offense and say, well, you do have Javonte Williams at running back. You don't really want to draft a running back in the first round anyway.
Right,
you look
at
the receivers. Who knows? But yeah. I wouldn't expect that. Receivers, you have Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy. Putting more assets
into
that.
Tim Patrick comes back.
Exactly.
Right.
It just doesn't really make that much sense, although it is possible. Tight end, Greg Dulcich looks
good.
Right,
you're enjoying Dulcich.
So, I mean, quarterback, we had that talk. All signs point toward offensive line, and there's some good tackles in this class. I've been slacking on the draft pod. I finally, went and looked at a mock draft just to see who's actually in the first round. There's a couple tackles in that range.
It's a good tackle class.
Love a good tackle class.
Wouldn't that be boring, though?
Might get a good guard,
but it's usually the right pick.
Exactly.
A lot of times the right pick's the boring pick.
It's just like in the Madden League. So every year we have the draft at the beginning of the year. You go like 20 rounds. You pick all your players. My policy is if there's nobody who really jumps out to you, just get somebody in the trenches. Just offensive lineman, defensive lineman. You're not going to regret it. It's just a nice, smart, reasonable thing to do.
In Madden.
And I think here, too. And here, too. I mean, you wind up with... Like I mentioned, I would have traded Dalton Reisner. And it's not because he's a bad player. It's because this offensive line isn't working. His contract expires at the end of the year. You just have to shake something up and try something new, and that's an obvious place where you can do it, especially when he's probably going to go get paid by somebody else because offensive linemen always get overpaid. So if you could have gotten something there, I would have loved it. For that same reason, just bring in a lineman, add another piece here, hope something clicks. You've got Quinn Miners playing awesome. Garrett Bowles is himself. And he's here for... I mean, I guess they could move on this offseason.
He's another one who's not getting any younger. Fun fact.
True.
He's 31.
Or better.
Or better.
But the thing is, it's just the penalties. Like, he's
That's a pretty big thing.
Exactly. But they disappeared last year. And then came back again. It's... If you just get some penalty luck with him, because I feel like that's... Because luck gets him into, like, oh, yeah, he's an above average tackle to potentially good tackle if he gets a lot of penalty luck or just stops holding guys. But you could have three good pieces that you're excited about. I think offensive line really jumps out.
Yeah, definitely does. It actually feels like a class without like a tippy top guy that's going to go top 10.
Huh, okay.
But there might be several guys who are kind of hovering around that 20th pick.
Perfect.
I mean, we'll see how the Niners pick falls. Like it'd be 20th right now. I don't know. Like they could make a run, right? With McCaffrey and stuff, I can feel it in my guts that a like absolutely amazing wide receiver will be available at that pick, and they won't take him because of the reasons you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm very fearful that the value will line up for a defensive back, and George Payton has a defensive back fetish.
Yeah,
and will add more talent on defense, and we'll all just.
I mean, it's all intriguing. Right,
who among us doesn't have a DB? There's plenty of options I love.
Totally. You could get off of Ronald Darby this offseason. Yep. He's been hurt a lot, yep. So it kind of makes sense. He's been good when he's played, but that's a decision you have to make.
He has an if out that's the in case, his contract. Yeah.
Yeah, you have Damari Mathis, who has mm-hmm. looked better since mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. four pass interferences in his first game, but that also is a thing that happened. It means that it's pretty easy to get better. You could just go after another corner to put opposite Pat Surtain.
Right.
And that would be really exciting. Then all of a sudden you have two great corners. You have Caden Stearns probably filling in for Kareem Jackson. You've got Justin Simmons back there. But can you really justify investing more in this defense?
I know.
No.
It's a tough
No, you can't. You probably can't. You're putting up 15 points a game.
Yeah. And there just seems to be a little mistrust with Russ and the offense right now. Like, yeah. I think he's seen ghosts. Like, clearly his yes. wide receivers and him not always on the same page.
No running game.
No running game. Maybe not a ton of trust to just throw it up and let guys go get it.
And when he does throw it up, it's nowhere near the receiver. There have been a couple of his lobs down there right to a guy. He's like,
look,
what is
man,
happening?
I heard all offseason about how great this offense was going to be because of the weapons that
yep.
the Broncos had.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, the new tight end. The running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously hasn't happened. The biggest reason why, in my opinion, is because Russell Wilson just sucks. He's just not very good. The second biggest reason why is because Nathaniel Hackett might not know what he's doing. But the biggest reason why, I think, is because Russell Wilson is just not that. He's just not that anymore.
Not that guy.
So
yeah.
I'm not willing to say Russell Wilson sucks. I am willing to say Russell Wilson has sucked so far. Like I'm not okay. So I think on facts, the field he has facts. Not been good. I mean, it's still Russell Wilson. Like the guy's gone to Pro
Bowl. He still has the same name.
I know, yes. But it's like it's 9 straight Pro Bowls. He's been to Super Bowls. Like there's been so many things that he's done so well. Like he can't just be terrible now.
I don't know, man. He's looked really bad this year.
Yes.
The he's other been thing awful. Is all the old quarterbacks are looking bad this year.
True.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of feels
Tom Brady, Aaron
like
Rodgers.
It's been the end of the line for
Ooh,
a
I
lot
mean,
of these dudes.
Russell Wilson has never been in the same tier as Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Right. Like I think that's important to say. He is not.
I think there was a 2-year stretch where he was going to Super Bowls where he was in that tier.
So you think like if somebody said, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, they'd have to think about it.
Back in like whenever the Legion of Boom and stuff like that was, yes.
Okay. I would never have.
I'm with you. I don't think he was in that tier.
There's a gap.
Fair enough.
But still.
Trying to think of NBA superstars who just kind of lost it.
Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell like, Westbrook. Sorry.
Russell Westbrook.
Those Russians.
Just kind of went
It's
downhill.
Funny, man. Like, Chris Paul lost it for a year he and did. Then got it back.
Yep.
James Harden's kind of, like, he went from, like,
yeah.
MVP
yeah.
top 3 finalists to, like, wow, he's a joke.
Yeah.
He really
he is
stinks.
A joke.
Well, I mean, he's kind of good again, though.
He's efficient. He's effective.
He's good when he wants to be. In the NBA, you can really just turn it on and turn it off so easily, I feel like. In the NFL, there's obviously a lot more that goes into it. Mm-hmm. NBA is such more of an individual sport. Who is the Russell Wilson comparison in the NBA? Man, that's a good question.
It Thank might you. Just be Russell Westbrook.
Gary Payton yeah. when he went to the Lakers.
Oh, wow.
Just like
I can't speak
off
to that.
Off a cliff.
Yeah, like Carmelo. Uh
huh. Yeah,
but I don't think either of those guys was supposed to be as good as
no,
Russell Wilson.
No, you're right.
Was supposed to be when he got the.
You're
Denver.
Right. You're exactly right.
I mean, Russell Westbrook was still like an all-star.
Is it happening with AD?
It could be.
Huh.
That's a good one.
I hate that guy.
It could definitely yeah. be happening with Anthony Davis. Yeah, Russell Westbrook though, like he was definitely on the decline.
Okay.
You know, before this year, he's been on yeah. the decline. You know, he
was terrible last
He went
year.
To Houston. He was obviously on the decline there. Washington. Yeah. He's been on the decline Washington. These last few years for sure.
And even when he was good, like his play style wasn't exactly efficient.
Yeah.
You know, if you like Harrison Wind are tracking the decline and recline of NBA superstars like Russell Westbrook, like James Harden, you can take your knowledge and apply it on an official sports betting partner of the NBA, DraftKings Sportsbook, the best sportsbook in all the land. Boost galore right now with all the sports going on at once. It's just a great time to be a user on the DraftKings Sportsbook. New users right now to commemorate the NBA being back.
Yay.
Can bet $5 on any NBA money line to win $200 in free bets. You don't sound too excited, Harrison.
Well, I mean, the biggest stories in the NBA have been Kyrie Irving promoting an anti-Semitic movie.
It's true. It's true.
Ime Udoka getting suspended rehired.
Yep.
And Josh Primo exposing himself to a team psychologist.
Josh Primo, that was not...
Those have been the three biggest stories in the NBA.
That surprised me. That surprised
And Robert Sarver selling the Suns. That's also a story going on.
I feel like the NBA's kind of trended that way. Where it's like, before, it's just been like drama, but the drama's kind of twisted this way, and now we're just hitting the peak of... Like, NBA pretty depressing. Is just gross.
Yeah. Pretty depressing, but not to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook.
That's a way to make it more fun, for sure.
In all the land. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use that promo code DMVR. Make any $5 bet this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's promo code DMVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Russell Wilson might be on a Ben Simmons trajectory.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. That's harsh, Harrison.
That would
Sean
be
Kemp, he went to the Cavs. Kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Sean Kemp might be a good one.
I was trying to think of a modern day one.
The Matrix? Amari, but, I mean, when he went
he was
to
still
New York,
great for that first
injury,
year at least
right,
when
that
he got
was
to the
injuries.
Knicks.
That was injuries. New partner alert, game time. Get all your hottest tickets at the best ticketing app in all the land. I actually think you can find some sweet deals slowly but surely on Broncos, Henry. We're getting there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get them for like $40.
It's a great time to be, partner with game time because Nuggets tickets are going to be amazing.
Yep.
They have the best last second deals. You can find just, some great prices on that app. The app is great to use, and also some great customer service for them as well. I have really enjoyed it. I took my my daughter with the rest of the MVR crew to her first Rockies game.
There you go.
It's lots of good times. We got to get her up to Folsom. She really wants to see a Broncos game. Game time can make it happen. It just feels like a long time commitment with a 4.5-year-old,
Probably don't go to Folsom this weekend for Oregon. Probably not a great experience for a first game.
But maybe we just stay for two quarters and we don't feel bad about it.
Or maybe you can teach her to be a Duck fan.
A Duck fan?
Why would you say that?
Sounds like a good idea.
I mean, I'd say they'd have fun probably.
Right? Yeah. And you can find Oregon tickets on Game Time, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
They have great deals. If you love DMVR, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description here on this YouTube episode. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All right.
Gene, DM me. DM me about that code. I'll help you out. I'll get to the bottom of it.
There you go,
DM Gene. Me about that.
Yep. Gene's going to get you. Harrison will get you figured out, Gene.
Yeah.
That's the Harrison win promise right there.
I will.
The Harrison win guarantee. Harrison, lately you're not skipping steps anymore as a Nuggets reporter. But I don't really care about your not skipping steps trades that you've covered. I care about the Bradley Chubb layout where you sell a vet, you go in on the future, and it works out with some spicy picks. Or doesn't work out. I don't know that you've had too many in your tenure as a Nuggets reporter, but we have some in Nuggets history that stand out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Nuggets haven't really, skipped steps.
Right. It's more like pick swaps.
Well, in the Tim Conley era, we just held on to everybody.
Yep. That's true.
We never traded anyone.
I mean, it's really
true. Until it was too late.
Yep.
And even in Nuggets history, Mutombo just leaves. David Thompson, things kind of go awry.
Their and Gordon trade was the biggest trade Tim Conley made.
Yep. Right. And that's a deadline trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buying or selling at the deadline. There's a case to be made for it. While I was doing research, I came across a Bleacher Report with the 10 craziest NBA trades of all time.
Wow.
Wow.
And it mentioned the Antonio
McDonald. Is that a slideshow?
It mentioned luckily at the top is Antonio McDice for Marcus Camby and the Nene pick. That one worked out. Kiki Vandeweghe, I think he's a month on the job, and that's where it all started, to the Knicks.
And those were kind of key pieces for the mellow year right there.
Yeah.
It's a great trade.
It was
that,
a great
trade. That was the McDice trade?
McDice trade.
Well, wasn't McDice just nothing after that?
No, he was nothing.
He was hurt in Denver. Then he just kept getting hurt the rest of his career.
And then he got traded back to the Nuggets, right? Was he part of the mellow trade?
No.
Which trade was he?
He just ended
up. He was pre-mellow.
They also gave him the 25th overall pick, which became Frank Williams, so. Pretty
not up to date on him.
Pretty benign. He did not work out.
Yeah, I mean, that did turn out to be a great trade for the Nuggets. I mean, Marcus Camby, he won Defensive Player of the Year with the Nuggets, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was the starting front court for that team for a while because Kmart could never stay healthy.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah. And, like, Nene was kind of a key piece.
And they chose exactly the right time to dump McDice.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So that was a trade that worked out great for Denver.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Famously, they have two picks in the top nine in that draft. One is Shkita at 5.
Let's forget about that one.
Nene at 9. And I think Amari Stoudemire goes 13th overall.
Mm. Nene had a great career. Probably one of the more underrated Nuggets of all time.
Absolutely. I loved his little tomahawk.
I think he
dunks.
Still is in Denver a lot as well.
Is that? Oh, I think he married a Coloradoan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to find. We can't say that.
I did not marry married to a Coloradoan.
And then, of course, the Melo trade's the one that stands out most. And you don't think of that as a vet for picks, but really the most valuable asset in that entire trade ends up being the final piece, the pick swap that gets them Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the Melo trade, man, like looking back on it, it was really... I feel like
the time to be alive.
It was a great trade for the Nuggets.
In retrospect, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The fact that Melo made it so known that he wants to go to the Knicks and that Masai Ujiri, who, like Kiki Vandeweghe, was just coming into the job.
Right, you're right.
The fact that Masai Ujiri, as a guy who had never been the top decision maker for an NBA team before, was able to get that out of the Knicks. Now, I don't know if there's another team who he could have gotten that out of. The Knicks are just inept when it comes to a lot of their front office dealings.
I remember the only other trade on the table was like the Nets trying to offer some picks and Derek Favors, but which thank God they didn't take.
I don't think that trade would have ever happened because Melo did not want to go there. He wanted to go to the Knicks. And it was that trade is so monumental because it was like the Nuggets got such a haul for Carmelo Anthony. Even today, you don't see superstars getting traded for that much.
Only Rudy Gobert.
Our friend Tim Conley might have changed that.
Tim Conley's kind of reset the market on that. Yeah. But before Gobert, you really did not see superstars get traded for that kind of haul. And that was also kind of the low-key start of the player empowerment era. With
Carmelo saying,
like, very publicly voicing that he wants to go to the Knicks. That's where he ended up. Mm-hmm. That's how it happens now. A star player pretty much... says they want out and publicly says where they want to get traded or publicly signals it, and they usually get traded there. That's just how it works in the great league of the NBA. But that was an incredible haul that the Nuggets got for Carmelo Anthony, and it kept them very competitive and also set them up for the future.
Yeah, I mean, you get four rotational players in Mozgov, Gallo, Ray Felton, and Wilson Chandler, and then there was at least another first rounder in the mix there that... I can't. Maybe that's the Moutier pick.
Yeah, maybe.
That makes sense.
No, I think the Moutier pick was their pick because they were really bad.
They were
really bad.
The other one that stands out is them trading Nick Van Exel and Ralph LaFrenz as Mark Cuban, first-time owner, trying to make a splash. The return on either of those is not great, but hey, at least they tried.
Yeah, Ralph LaFrenz, but he was before his time.
Oh.
Ralph LaFrenz, if he came into the league 15 years later, he might have had a spot.
Would modern medicine have advanced enough to keep Ralph together?
Oh, that's the big question. I was just thinking from like a stretch five element.
Right. No, I agree.
You know, he could shoot the rock.
That was kind of the low-key Chet comp. Him and Sean Bradley.
That's
which
hilarious.
Felt like massive red flags to me. But I think the Melo trade... similar to the Chubb trade, and we could talk about the Dushin trade as one of the great examples of the Avs doing this and the Rockies
lately haven't been great about this is when your time comes, you need to know when to make a move and like
right.
take the losses where they come and just try to maximize the package you can get.
Yeah.
Yep.
How you can really screw yourself as a GM is exactly what you said. When you hang on staying for
put.
Too long.
Staying put.
When you hang on for too long and you convince yourself, like, it would have been really bad if George Payton was trying to convince himself that the Broncos could win the Super Bowl this year or even make the playoffs. Yep. Because if he did, he might have held on to Bradley Chubb.
Yep. And the big thing is the contract. Yeah. I mean, it's 5 years, $110 million, $63 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't give that out. And the option was you can either keep Bradley Chubb, franchise tag him this offseason, get him on your roster for one more year for $20 million bucks, and then you go through next season. You can move him at the trade deadline, probably not for more than you got, mm-hmm. maybe for less if things don't go well, or just hold on to him and say we're riding out this season and going all in on this season, which seems like it'd be unlikely to want to do that. And then there's the fact that he could just hold out in the offseason, say he wants the contract, like just take the package, move on. It's a good deal. Oh, also, Antonio McDyess was part of the AI Chauncey Billups trade. He just got bought out.
Oh, yeah. That was at the very, very end of his career, probably.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. AI gets sent to Detroit. Yeah, and Chauncey comes here.
The AI trade was big, too.
It was huge.
Kind of the other way, though.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Kind of no picks involved in any of that.
Yeah, what was it? Iverson, Kiki. For Billups and
yeah.
Kiki let go of all those picks once he was there. They didn't draft. Huh. It was
Well, George Karl hated rookies.
Right.
So he knew, like, if I drafted somebody, they're never going to play.
From Nene to Ty Lawson, there is a massive gap of them.
Yeah.
Like,
they just really punted on the draft anyone. Yeah. With George Karl. They really did.
Yeah.
And their depth was horrendous.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, horrible.
It's not a bad call when you're a good team, though. I mean, how often do you see teams go in there where there's, like, rookies contribute on championships? Like, usually there's, like, one.
Yeah.
And one young guy who's factoring in. And it's mostly just guys who've been around, you know, like a KCP for the Nuggets. Or for a while, it was like Kyle Korver just happened to be on all those teams. Like, it felt like there's all these veterans that are just filling the roles that rookies could.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some teams can't operate that way. The Lakers, the 76ers, the Nets. But if you're not one of those teams, I think you got to keep the pipeline going. You got to have a couple guys in the pipeline that you can turn into cheap the bench guys.
In the NBA, it's not the big – in the NFL, it's not the big market that dictates that. It's having the superstar quarterback and being able to convince the veteran, come to us, we'll make a last run, like DeMarcus Ware with Peyton, you know.
Yep.
Take below market value to come with us, Wells Welker,
yep.
and we'll make it happen. And, of course, the other way is like what the Avs were doing last year, where they're trading picks, they're trading prospects. Justin Barron comes for Arturi Lehkonen, and that was huge in making that final run. Moving on to the Avs, they're the best example of this. It's technically not Denver sports, but it is the ultimate example of this kind of trade is last couple years before they moved to Denver. The Nordiques trade superstar Eric Lindros, first overall pick a couple years ago. He was supposed to be the absolute next great thing in hockey. Wins the MVP, but injuries kind of get him, never wins championships. And they end up getting Mike Richey and Peter Forsberg straight up. Mm-hmm. A ton of other pieces, one that they ship straight up for Patrick Waugh, and another one that they ship straight up for Adam Detmarsh. So that, I mean, that trade built the modern Avs. We just weren't part of it because it happened in Quebec. But that is the ultimate, like, you trade one guy who's supposed to be a superstar but doesn't quite work out because of injuries and whatever else, and you're able to parlay that into multiple superstars from there. And then the better example more recently is the Duchene trade, which is similar to the Melo trade, where, like, Joe Sakic doesn't have the leverage. He's kind of forced into a corner, but he takes his time, he's patient. And the pick they get ends up being Bo Byram, who's obviously already grown into being a key piece. You also get Sammy G straight up and Shane Bowers, who is kind of one
of
the few.
We started talking about the Avs, and AJ just walked into
now,
the
Now I'm sweating. I'm worried I said something wrong.
The first time we had mentioned the Avs.
You're talking about Sheen in front of the Avs, guys.
It's incredible.
AJ just pops in. That was great.
It's great.
Yeah, you want to come on the show? You want to replace me for this segment?
I don't know if you've seen this before. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Shane Bowers, my guy. I talked about him on the draft pod where we broke down the Cale Makar class. I remember it well. So yeah, Av's kind of the best examples of that in both ways.
It's
not
crazy.
So much like hanging on too long.
Are hockey front offices the smartest front offices in sports?
No, because they do things like give Curtis McDermott a contract because they're big and tough.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's definitely not NBA front offices.
I think it's not NBA front offices, though. I think the big markets.
It's probably
get.
Not NFL.
Yeah, is it baseball? Baseball's such a crapshoot.
It's not the Rockies. It's the Rockies should be dominating this segment. Like they rebuilding through trading good players, but they don't even have one.
You can't trade picks. You can't trade picks in the MLB.
Huh.
That's
still,
for bulletin.
Like,
can you imagine how few draft picks the Rockies would have if they were able to trade draft picks?
My goodness.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Like a draft pick trade, we have added Hassle Cattle back onto our mix of sponsors and partnerships. They'd ruined my youngster for any other kind of steak. She couldn't eat it because she's
bougie now.
Yeah, she became a Wagyu steak consumer. How can you go back, Harrison? I frankly couldn't go back. It's like it feels like this wasn't made with butter embedded in my steak. Wagyu steak
she's
is
like, where's the marbling?
Yeah, come on. It's insane how good their stuff is. We're offering it at some tailgates. It's just the best. I can't wait to have it back at the bar. If you want a taste before purchasing, you know, come check it out at a DMVR tailgate. And right now, head to HassleCattleCompany.com to secure your bag of beef or get the old jalapeno sausages. Those were amazing. Mm-hmm. Code DNVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase. That's DNVR20 for 20% off. And then Harrison, a favorite sponsor of ours, James Harden has suffered a right foot tendon. That's great. That's not a favorite sponsor of ours. It's that Ivaka TV sent you guys out.
Now the path
Serbia.
Has really been laid for Joel Embiid to win MVP.
Yes.
I mean, this is working out perfectly for the Embiid backers.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. That makes me sad, Harrison, unlike seeing you at Jokic's stable.
Yeah.
Horse track, turning to the camera and saying, this is unreal. I can't believe it. All thanks to our friends at Ivaka TV.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say on the documentary? Or?
Yeah, I mean, the Serbia doc is out. 100 Invisible Threads. You can watch it on Ivaka TV. There was just a showing last night.
Yep.
I think the next showing is next week.
Yep.
No, I think it's the coolest project we have ever done at DNVR.
Yeah, for sure.
Full stop. I think it is. Maybe because I was a little bit involved in it.
You were big involved in it. You were interviewed by Serbian national TV.
Yeah, that was crazy. We did go on like the morning show.
You learned a lot about Serbian basketball history.
Yeah. No, it's a great doc. I think it's the coolest thing we've done at DNVR. And I think it's unlike anything anybody has done in sports media.
Mm-hmm. No more said than that. Go check out more info for showings, all the great spotlights and live pods they did from Serbia. We've got a nice little banner on thedmvr.com. And then to check all this out with Ivaka, EVCOA.TV/DNVR to watch your favorite Colorado sports. Yeah, they also carry Altitude TV and everything else to have you set.
It's the only place where you can watch the documentary right now.
Yep,
and you also really get the Nuggets.
Exclusive. Yep. It's incredible stuff. So there you go. Henry, we move on down memory lane to Vets, 4 draft picks to the Broncos. This was harder to find because I don't know if we can even qualify the John Elway trade as this.
He wasn't a vet.
No, but they trade vets and picks to get John Elway, who's technically a pick, but everyone knew John Elway was already the pick. And I mean, does John Elway really count in this course? You're not taking a swing on like the 20th overall pick. You're like, oh, that's John freaking Elway. I say that for the kids watching today.
That was nice.
Thank you. A nice gesture from me. But it is, again, John Elway.
Yeah.
The chosen one.
He was what, rookie at that point? How long after the draft did they trade for him? I'll stretch the window
within a month of him having been drafted by the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah, that's so garbage.
Yep. Not fans of the Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, they did trade vets. They traded the rookie. There he is.
Yep.
Eh, I mean, I think that's
your ruling
for
Henry.
A trade.
I think right? It kind of qualifies.
It qualifies as like trading for a good player, right?
If it qualifies.
What exactly is the question, I guess, is the.
I mean, we've done the whole show on trading a vet for picks. I've given you tons of examples from Avs and Nuggets.
This isn't picks.
But it's a pick. The pick is John Elway.
But he'd already been drafted.
Ruling stands, doesn't qualify. AJ, if that did qualify, more monumental for Denver sports, the Eric Lindros trade or the John Elway trade?
Has to be
AJ says John Elway. So there you go. Avs people can't get mad at me. AJ Hafley said that. TD acquired through a pick swap. A higher fourth for a fourth and a sixth, and that sixth ends up being TD. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Again, no vet involved, so it doesn't qualify. Sorry, Henry, I tricked you.
You did trick
me. Yeah, I got you good. Jay Cutler, however, does. Two first rounders, another lower pick, Kyle Orton. What's crazy is the first rounder becomes Robert Ayers. Not so good.
Bust.
Yeah, yep. Bust.
He knew the second he was drafted.
In that same draft, they draft Nosean Moreno.
Yep.
Kind of works out. Not the hype we expected.
I don't think we can call him a bust.
Right.
What's your best memory of Nosean Moreno?
Crying on the sideline.
That's what I was thinking.
Him being like a reliable veteran back on that Super Bowl 50 team. But that's it.
Super Bowl 48, right?
Super Bowl 48. Yeah. Thank you, Henry. Thank you. Of course it's Super Bowl 48.
Did the camera go Audi Quattro on us?
It looks like it did.
Okay, it happens every now and then. That's no problem. Wow. And then you have Jay Cutler. Robert Ayers doesn't work out. They trade their own pick next year for Alphonso Smith. Worst trade in Broncos history. But then that other Chicago pick, they trade down. They trade down again. They trade down once more.
Oh, wow.
Trade back up. Draft Demaryius Thomas. And with all those trade downs, they have more ammo to pick one Tim Tebow. And then more of that ammo goes to Eric Decker in the third round. Decker Tebow DT for Cutler.
That's a hell of a trade. It's everything.
That is a good return.
That's almost Melo like.
Wow. What would the Broncos record be right now if they had Jay Cutler from his last year in Denver instead of Russ?
Way better than it is.
I think so too.
This is what I'm trying to tell you guys.
No, way better.
I think it's
Russell Wilson is
those
not
teams
good.
Were high scoring.
Yeah, Jay Cutler was awesome.
Caveat is, I think you need Mike Shanahan calling the plays though.
That is true.
Don't disregard Mike Shanahan's impact.
I would never.
Do we have Tony Scheffler and Eddie Royal? That's the bigger question.
No, where's
Brandon Marshall?
Like those guys.
Because these receivers aren't going to cut it. I think the receivers might be the problem.
I was told we have great receivers.
I know.
The whole summer.
I got in trouble for saying they might not be great.
You know what happened is we were used to Decker and DT. We didn't know if they were great, but we were like, they're going to be great with Peyton. And they were.
Yep.
So we've convinced ourselves we can just do that every time. Not that easy, Mr. Wind. Not that easy. And then the Rockies can't trade draft picks, but they did do a decent job of this with Matt Holliday, who they get cargo for, and Houston Street.
Yep.
But again, no picks. Corey Dickerson, they swap him for a young prospect named Germán Márquez. Works out.
That is a good one. A rare good trade from the Rockies.
They try that with Ubaldo. Doesn't quite work out. They try that with Nolan Arenado. Doesn't quite work out. God. They try it with Tulo.
Did they try that with Nolan?
Yeah, maybe they did. Fair enough, Harrison.
Or were they just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, we'll be bad. Sure. Yeah. He wants to leave, go.
Let's pay his salary. Tulo was maybe more maddening than Nolan. Like, they get veteran Jose Reyes.
Tulo always was going to suck. That was.
But, hey, I'll still take that over what they did with John Gray and Trevor Story, which was... Diddly squat again, that one's for the kids.
Yeah, that is terrible. Like I said, like, they should be leading this whole like trading to rebuild conversation, but they've They've almost never hit on those, you despite trying over and over again.
You don't sit on your hands. You don't sit on your hands.
They do.
They do. So all that to say, maybe George Payton did the right thing with.
Do you think George Payton's a good GM?
Is George Payton a good GM?
Yeah,
I think he's good.
Yeah,
he's a good drafter.
I think George Payton
is he good in the other areas of GMing, hiring a coach, free agency, trades? That I think is more an incomplete grade. I do feel like we can give him a good grade as a drafter.
More bad coaches are higher than good coaches, and that doesn't excuse hiring Hackett, but you do have to factor in that that's what happens.
What I just described for George Payton, that's kind of the book on Tim Connelly, right?
What? Yeah. Wait, like, describe it again.
That he's a good drafter. Is he a good GM as far as coaching, hires, trades?
Michael Malone's
free
good
agency.
Hire.
Michael Malone was a good hire. I was on the fence about.
And the Aaron Gordon trade was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. He's made it happen.
Where would you rank Michael Malone among NBA coaches? He top 10 NBA coach?
Top 10. See, I think there are like the top five best coaches in the league, the bottom five, and then everybody else is pretty similar. Yep. I think he's in the group that's pretty similar. Like, I don't think he's a top five coach.
Pretty solid is the grade.
He's a good coach. He's been good. He's a solid coach. I think the Nuggets can win a championship with him.
Yep.
I think he's a good coach there.
There you go. That's
he's not Eric Spoelstra, Steve Kerr.
Greg Popovich.
I don't know if Greg Popovich is a top five coach anymore.
I don't think he is.
He was forever, but I don't know if he is anymore.
As a wine taster, maybe he's in that top tier. shouts to Greg Popovich. Thank you, fellas, for doing this with me. It was a fun trip down memory lane. Skipping some steps, retracing some steps. Very enjoyable all around. That's TDSP for you. We'll be back next week.
1990 was also the year that Drazen and Vlade had their...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.